Amen. While we're standing tonight, let's turn to the word of the Lord. Reading from John 14. We'll also be reading from Revelation chapter 12. Amen. Along with Brother Short, I want to say how glad we are for you being here in the house of the Lord tonight. And certainly glad the Lord has made his presence known. Amen. God always does what he does on purpose. He never does what he does on accident or by chance. God has a purpose. He's a God of purpose. Amen. And there's certainly a purpose of God in this service tonight. Amen. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 27, Jesus speaks, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. One version reads, he has no claim on me, no power over me or anything he can use against me. Amen. The prince of this world has no power over me. He has nothing that he can use against me. Revelation 12, beginning in verse 7. There was war in heaven. How many understands that there is constant activity in the supernatural? There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels prevailed not. Notice, neither was their place found any more in heaven. They lost their place. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Because the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Not just the words that they spoke, but the life that they lived. They overcame him by the life that Jesus gave and the life that they lived. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, their conversation, their lifestyle, their example. They were willing to lay down their lives for the cause of Christ. They loved not their lives unto the death. They could have recanted. They could have backed out. They could have reconsidered. But they overcame. They overcame. Amen. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. Amen. I want to preach tonight, cast down your accuser. Amen. Do you feel like that's the will of God tonight? Amen. Amen. Lift up your voice again in the house of the Lord. We thank you, God, for the victory that's in this place tonight. Worship your name. We glorify your name. Thankful God. Thankful for your grace that you are extending to us. Thankful God for the faith. Oh God, in victory that's in this house tonight. Oh, let's clap our hands again unto the Lord. Oh, there's some good things that are about to take place. Glory to God. Come on, it's time to hook up in the Holy Ghost. Time to go where the Holy Ghost is calling us to go tonight in this service. Hallelujah. 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 Please be seated. I'm going to begin tonight by directing your attention to the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Jewish Christians, those of Hebrew lineage who knew so much detail about the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the tabernacle, and all of its furnishings and all the processes that were contained in the Mosaic Law, all the ceremony, all the various aspects of keeping the law of Moses. And so oftentimes in the book of Hebrews, Paul is helping these Jewish Christians understand the law was good, but Jesus is better. There is a better way. We have better covenants. We have a better high priest. He shed better blood. And now we have better promises. And such is the case in chapter 4. Begin in verse 14. See, and then we have a great high priest. Not just another high priest or a high priest. We have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. We don't have to throw in the towel. We don't have to take the coward's way. We don't have to make excuses because we got a great high priest. We can hold fast our profession. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Our great high priest has been where we are. Our great high priest has felt what we're feeling. Amen. He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points. Everybody say everything. He was tempted in every way, like as we are tempted, but he didn't succumb to the temptation. He didn't yield to the temptation. He didn't fall into the snare of the devil. He was without sin. Let us, therefore, because our high priest was tempted and overcame, because our high priest has been where we are and come out of it, because our great high priest was tempted and overcame sin, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Not the throne of judgment. Not the throne of criticism. The throne of grace. What really is God's grace? It's God's help. God giving you what you lack to do His will, to fulfill His word. You can't do it by yourself, but you're not by yourself. God gives us grace to overcome. Grace to say no to sin. Grace to say yes to Him. And because He was tempted and overcame sin, because of that, we can come into His throne room, and we can come before the grace of strength giving. We can come before the throne of way making. We can come before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You go to God and say, God, I don't know how to get out of this. And God said, I've been there and I got out of it. This is how you get out of it. Amen. The throne of grace. Amen. Jesus took care of sin. Amen. Paul writing to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. He's talking about Moses' generation. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. They did all eat that same spiritual meat. They drank that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amen. They knew the history of their people. But with many of them, verse 5, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. I want you to notice here what Paul says now in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 10. Now these things were our examples. Everybody say example. These things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Learn the lesson. These things happened so that we could learn. Don't make the same mistake that those before you made. This is what they did, and that's what caused. That was the effect of the cause. This is what happened because of what they did. If you don't want that to happen, don't do what caused it to happen. If you don't want to be overthrown, don't fall into sin. Neither. He begins to list some things that they did and were judged by it or because of it. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed. Fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Notice the sins that were listed. Idolatry, fornication, tempting God, and murmuring. Don't go there. Don't do that. Notice verse 11 again. He says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Don't get overconfident. Don't think you're all that. There's nothing wrong with confidence in God, but put no confidence in the flesh. Don't think that I've got this. I can handle this. I can take this. I can survive this. I don't care how strong of a will you have. Everyone has a breaking point. Everyone has a weak link. Everyone has an area in your life that you're susceptible. Amen. And Paul says, we've got some scriptures and we've got some history and we've got a story that says we can't get lax and we can't let up because sin is available to everybody. Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. But notice the very next verse in your Bible, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You're not going through something anyone else has never gone through. You're not the only one that's ever gone through what you're going through, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. The negative history of God's people that seemed to be repeated over and over and over and over again. They did not have to go where they went. They did not have to do what they did. That was not their only option. But they made the wrong decision. They faced the wrong direction. They had the wrong motivation. And they fell in judgment. Because God will not be mocked. God will not be made a liar. Amen. What you reap, you will sow. But you don't have to fall into sin just because you're tempted. To the Colossian church, Paul writes, and you, Colossians 2 beginning in verse 13, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him. You have been made alive with Christ. He's quickened you with him. Notice, having forgiven you all trespasses. You have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. There's blood on it. Woo! I can't read what this says. It's covered in blood. I know you've got a document here and you've listed my transgressions. But I'm sorry. It's illegible. I can't read what it says and neither can you. You can't accuse me of that because I've been forgiven. Verse 15 of Colossians 2, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for the cleansing flow from Calvary. Would you lift up your hands and thank God with me for that right now? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm hastening here. Amen. One more instance from Hebrews. Amen. To help us understand what Jesus Christ has done for us. Speaking of the cross, Hebrews 10 and verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Yes, sir. Right. Say those three words with me. Once for all. Amen. He died once for all people.
That's right. That's right.
He died once for all sin.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
He took care of everything on the cross.
Yes, sir.
That's why he cried, "It is finished." It's completed. It's done with. It's took care of. It's paid for. You don't have to pay for your sin. I paid for it. You don't have to die in your sin. I'm dying for it in your stead. For all. He died for me, so I don't have to die in my sin. Amen. He died for you, Brother Short, so you don't have to die in your sin. He died for you, Brother Boaz, so you don't have to die in your sin. He died for you, Brother Chad Short. He died for you, Brother Butler. He died for you, Brother Castleman. He died for you, Elder Packlin. He died for everybody. So, no. Nobody has to suffer the penalty of sin if you apply the blood that was shed on the cross once for all. He speaks again of high priest. Amen. Every high priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. It's never enough. But a better way happened. A better covenant was brought forth. A new testament took place. This man, Jesus, after he had offered up one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Henceforth expect until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, somebody shout it with me, one offering, he hath perfected. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I'm in the face of your accuser tonight. And I've got a word for your accuser. Back off. You have no right. These are false charges. I know the act was done, but it was repented of, and it was forgiven, and it's been covered by the blood. It no longer exists. Somebody needs to get a revelation of the blood tonight. Somebody needs to thank God for the blood that washes white as snow. I know you still remember your past. I know you still feel guilty from time to time. But I want you to bring that to an altar in the next few moments. Amen. And leave out of here with a new perspective. Not glossing over sin. Not saying it's no big deal. Not saying I can do it again and not suffer consequences. No. But because of the cross, and because of the blood, and because of his word, and because of his name, I am sanctified. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, it's also a witness. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days. I will put my law in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them in their hearts and in their minds, and their sins and iniquities, your mistakes, I will remember no more. Now, do you believe this? The book says that God says, I will remember no more. I choose to not remember. And you can remember it. But God said, I took care of that. Amen. There's an old Southern gospel song. Amen. Some of the words go, what sin are you talking about? Amen. Going to God about all these things that I did, and I'm thankful, God, for what you've done, dealing with this and taking care of all this and helping with all these sins. And God says, what sins are you talking about? Amen. I've took care of that. Amen. It doesn't exist anymore. Amen. It's as if it never has been. It's cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. Your transgressions have been removed from you as far as the east is from the west. I don't care how bad and how hard the devil tries to bring up your past. His arms aren't long enough. He meant to reach that far and pull it back into the present. Come on, leave it where God put it. I said, leave it be and let it go in Jesus' name. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. You don't have to pay for it over and 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 over. You don't have to deal with it every time you come to church. You don't have to be tormented about it every time you open your eyes up in the morning. There's no more offering where remission is. God, when will I ever pay for this? You never will, because I already have. Somebody would get a spirit of revelation on you right now. I'm not trying to give somebody a pass. I'm trying to help you understand that what you are trying to take care of has been took care of a long time. It's been done. It's been over. Jesus said it's finished. Once for all. Musicians, come. Let's pray right now. Come on, everybody. In Jesus' name. Somebody in the Holy Ghost right now, God has a once and for all for you tonight. Amen. It's going to be took care of. You're going to bring it to the altar for the last time. Amen. And by revelation and conviction, you're going to turn loose of it and let it go and stop dragging the carcass of your past around. Amen. Stop letting that filthy rottenness hang over you. Amen. Like a sack of rotten potatoes. Amen. Stenching every part of your life. Amen. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. And the cross says you're made free. The blood says you're made free. Where remission is, there's no more offering. Hell says, as you stand, you'll never pay for it. You'll never measure up. You'll never be good enough. You're forever disqualified. And God says, it's been paid for. You never could take care of it. And I took care of it for you. I did what you could not do. I close in Luke, the 22nd chapter. Jesus turns to the key holder and calls him, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. He may sift you as wheat. He's going to get all he can out of you and use you up and throw what's left away. He hath desire. God is telling this apostolic preacher in the making, Satan has plans for you to use you for his purpose. But Jesus says, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. Don't stop believing. Simon, the test is coming. Keep believing. Trouble's on the way. Keep believing. You're going to do some things that you wish later you hadn't done, but in the heat of the moment, when it's all said and done, don't lose your faith. Jesus did not say, I've prayed that trouble won't come. He didn't say, I've prayed that the tempter will be kept away. He didn't say, I've prayed that you'll never have any tribulation. No, he said, I've prayed that your faith don't fail. And when?
Oh my God.
He did not say if. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. Amen. You're going to be pointed in the wrong direction. You're going to be heading down the wrong road. But when? I feel like it's about time for somebody to get converted tonight. Amen. When you return, when you turn around, when you turn back, Simon, when you come back, amen. One version of it means to reform. Simon, when you're reformed, reformed. Simon, when you're formed again, when you feel like you've broken all your potential, there's nothing left for God to use, He can form again. And you can be reformed when you turn back. The words of a man, I close in Acts the 3rd chapter. The words of a man that knew what he was talking about. In Acts the 3rd chapter, Simon Peter says, repent you therefore and be converted. Amen. Can I remind you, I've been where you are. I heard the master say, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, repent you therefore, turn around, come back, reconsider, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshment. Even now is come salvation and power and glory and the kingdom, because the accuser has been cast down. Would you clap your hand to the Lord? Give God a mighty ovation. I feel a refreshing in this place. I feel revival in this house. Somebody's leaving lighter. Somebody's waking up different in the morning. It's not going to take somebody near as long to go to sleep tonight. God's about to give somebody your testimony back. God's about to give somebody your faith back. Don't obey the Holy Ghost. If you need a miracle of deliverance tonight, even in this altar, and lift up your hands and cry out to God, and let the glory of God fill your soul.
He that the Son has set
respond to a Holy Ghost invitation. Somebody else step down into this altar and say, I'm done with it. I'm done with the condemnation. Devil, take your hands off my mind. Take your filthy hands off my mind tonight. Take authority over you in the name of Jesus. I am an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb and my testimony.
I remember standing on the oxygen.
Church family, that's come. There's the move of God here right now.
Satan controlled me, for he had
some sort of break in the Holy Ghost. The
ship was transferred way back in Calvary. Jesus whispered, child, I bought you so that you could be set free. He that the Son set free is free in me. There's no more chains.
Maybe you were intimidated to not step out, but now you're here. Get something.
Triumph. Thank you. Jesus, I'm a child of the King. I traded filthy garments for a robe of royalty.
Where remission is?
Chains that used to bind
me. There's no more offering for sin.
Laying at my feet. Cause the devil can't make a law.
Stop trying to pay for something that's already paid for. Was transferred way back in Calvary.